would be church council meeting right after the service. Briefly, we need to address a couple of things. So for those council members who are here, please. Alrighty. And then following that, or along with that, is our food and fellowship fair for this month. And even if you didn't bring food or forgot about it, we got food. So have some good time of fellowship afterward. And then Wednesday night, we're going to restart our Bible study. So it's in your bulletin. We're picking up where we left off with Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18, Wednesday night. So hope you can join us for that. And then sadly, in a way, but also celebrating Sandy's homegoing, Saturday, 10 o'clock at Kaufeldt's. Hope you can be a part of that. And then next Sunday, continuing the Fulfilling Faith series with Home Holding Joy. Home Holding Joy. That sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Better come and see what that's all about. Always do. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. That's confirming. That's affirming. No, I take it. I like it. Food drive. Reminder, we got bags back there with lists of items that the food pantry needs, which was in the paper today as well. And so let's do our part, and if you haven't grabbed a bag yet, please do so and bring it back. Some of you already, I know, have contributed, brought it directly to the Helping Hands Center back there, so appreciate that. Am I forgetting anything else? Nope. Okay, front of your bulletin has the genuine faith that we're dealing with, and out of Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." I hope you're overflowing with thankfulness this morning, but if not, that you'll become that way as we're together here in the Lord's house this morning to give Him praise and glory for all of His goodness. Father, we are thankful. We come with gratitude and thanksgiving into your house today for the freedom to do so and for just the opportunity, Lord, to unite together in praise and worship of you and to give you the worship that you alone are worthy of because you've made it all possible. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. You know the concerns and needs and burdens. We just lift them to you in this moment and just entrust them to you so that we can focus on you and what you have for us this morning. Anoint each heart and each mind with your Holy Spirit, we pray. In your Son's name, amen. Oh, missed that last Sunday, didn't you?
Yes.
Missed the wah-wahs. Did anybody wah-wah in our absence?
No.
That's disappointing. I tried to pass it on to you and you didn't pick it up and carry on with it. What's... Boy. Yes, Hollis.
And they were 20. They both played ball for me. I know Nick was finding his way to Christ, but his family, you know, not so much. He was the one in the family that was kind of, and Wes and Nick did everything. And I just hope that this doesn't drive Wes away from God and his family. He's under a lot of turmoil, a lot of hatred.
The Holland family. Okay. Would that be related to Nate Holland also?
No, they were originally
snowboarder?
From California.
Oh, okay. Different family.
Yeah, but they were both fine young men, you know.
Okay. We will add that to our prayer at the end. Thank you. All righty. Well, here we are. We're resuming, continuing, returning to our faith, what is it? Fulfilling Faith series. Is it up there? All right. Paul's Pay It Forward. Paul was good at paying it forward. And so we're focusing on Paul's thoughts on faith today, his own faith, and how he desired and did everything he could to pass it on to others. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I guess now it would be, we focused on Jesus' words of faith and what he had to say about it, and he is the fulfiller of faith and brings fulfillment in our lives as we open our hearts to him. And I saved on purpose his last word on faith to connect with Paul's words on faith today, Paul's Pay It Forward. And so, Alan, if you would begin with that passage in Luke and then 2 Corinthians.
However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test.
Kind of a striking statement there from Jesus. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? In our day, and we see more people turning from faith, I would say, that statement, that question is appropriate, and we wonder sometimes. And we feel like, well, maybe we're alone in this. And yet, if it's only me, I want him to be able to say, yes, I did find faith on earth. But more than that, I want, because of my faith, I want there to be a whole lot of other people with faith. That it's not just something to enjoy myself and keep to myself. It's something that's been meant to pass on. So I must be committed to keeping the faith. And Paul said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. And it's not the only place where it says in Scripture to examine yourselves and to consciously take a check and see, am I really living the faith that I profess to have? Is it a true and genuine faith? Is it being fulfilled in my life? And so we're going to encourage each other in the faith examination this morning as we go through Paul's thoughts on faith and begin our self-examination with, you're going to love this, Ephesian efficacity. That's a real word. I didn't make this one up. You can see that in the dictionary, efficacity. Efficacious is a word that means to be effective or to be productive, to be valuable, to be fruitful. Efficacious, okay? So Ephesian efficacity is what we're going to embrace as we begin the self-examination this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10.
For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Yes, it begins with this. We are saved by grace through faith. We receive salvation by faith. It's not by good works. Nothing we can do can earn us salvation. And we never want to get caught up in that. Even when we continue in faith, we should never think that what I'm doing is earning my salvation. No. By grace alone, through faith. If we don't have faith in the grace of God, we don't have anywhere to begin with even. But as we have faith and as we live in faith, we come to understand that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So way back before even the creation of the world, God had in mind, John is going to be a person of faith, and I've got some good works for him to do. I'm going to fulfill the foreseen in 2019 in his life. That's our theme this year, fulfilling the foreseen. God has seen. He already had it ready. He created me to do this and to do that, and to you to do this and do that as a result of your faith in him. And it's only as we begin in that and continue in that that efficacity is going to take place in our lives. We're going to be productive. We're going to be fruitful. We're going to be valuable and all of that stuff, effective in our faith. So true faith produces good works, which God does through the faith that we have in him. We're all square on that, right? James will have more to say about that next week in Home Holding Joy. Anyway, Ephesian efficacy continues in Ephesians 3.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wonderful. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, we're reestablishing that again. And then it goes on to talk about how we're able then to grasp the unimaginable, really. It's beyond our comprehension, the heights and the depths, the width, the, how did it, did I do that right? The long and the wide, all of that. It makes me want to sing another Sunday school song, but I'm not going to. The conference we went to, one of the highlights of it was a young man. Well, he's not so young anymore. He was young when we were in college. And he was the son of the pastor in Vancouver, Washington, Gerald Marvel. Marvel was the right name for him because he was, you knew Gerald Marvel and his family. By reputation, the best preacher the Church of God movement's had. He's got a son and daughter who are rivaling him now. One of them is Bob. Bob Marvel spoke at this conference. And he just dealt on the heights and depths and the wide and long and all of that. The whole message was on that, and it was unbelievable. And I was just so moved and stirred, I went up to him afterward and I gave him a big hug. And I said, if I was allowed to be envious, I would be envious of you. Because the gift, his gift, preaching gift is just, well, anyway, don't want to go on and on about that. But he impressed so much what God's word is saying about grasping all of that that God has for us, which is really beyond our human understanding. But there is a possibility to be able to experience it and to know it if our hearts are really open to it. And that's what fulfilling faith is about. That's what we're endeavoring to do, to come to understand and be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That one always just blows my mind away. That we can really, we have the capacity not to have all of God, but as much as we can take, that it's full of the measure of God. I want to just be totally full of the measure of God. That's what ultimate efficacy is about, that we're fulfilling that faith so that God just pours out of our lives. We can't help but pass it on. And he says, according to his power that is at work within us. And so works, again, are produced by the faith that we have. God works through that faith in our lives in order for us to pay it forward, to pass it on to others. And so this is Ephesian efficacy. I hope you embrace that and live in it. Paul continues then his pay it forward through, secondly, Philippians, prize pressing. And this examination continues in Philippians chapter 2, 12 following.
Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain.
Yeah, that which Paul was running and laboring for is a prize that we will talk more about, but that's a key thought there that he has. So he says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's God who works in you not only to do, but to even will. The will, the desire that we have to do good things, to have Him live and work in us, comes from God. That's not even from ourselves. We have to open our hearts to it, but that's God's doing in order to fulfill His good purposes in us. There's that fulfilling thing again. Only when we do this, then will your light shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. As those who've gone before us pass it on to us, we continue to do the same thing, passing it on to others. And what a glorious thing we have to be a part of. Paul's prize, the prize that he was pressing toward, was the fulfilling faith of those that he had shared his faith with. He said, in order that I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. It depended upon them receiving that faith and being faithful to it and continuing to pass it on to others. That was part of his prize, part of my prize. So don't fail me, right? Okay then. He goes on then about his prize pressing in Philippians 3.
But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Yes. So for Paul and his prize pressing on to that prize that God is holding out to all of us, this pay it forward only happens when we lose everything, when we give up our rights to everything and the things of this world and we die to it. We literally just say, no, I don't need any of that. My only thing that I desire to possess and live by is this faith to pass on to others so that I will ultimately gain that prize. We live in Christ. He's all we need. Everything that we need, He has in abundance. And so we die to everything else, gain Christ, forgetting what is behind, pressing to what is ahead. This is the focus. This is what Paul is all about. This is this him paying it forward, passing it on to others. And in order to do that, to fulfill that goal, then we must commit ourselves to what now we will call Colossian continuing. Might not sound like a real rosy word, but there it is. It's in the Bible. It's in Colossians 1 and 2.
Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened by in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Yeah, twice Paul says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. So there is this continuing condition. And he names some of the things that are part, some of the things that are conditions in this continuing. Established, firm, unmovable, rooted, built up, strengthened. All of these things are part of that continuing experience that we have in him. And he concludes by saying, and as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now we know that to be built up in the faith and to be strengthened and all of that is going to require us to go through the fire, to be refined by fire, to face troubles, to face difficulties, to face persecution. We talked about last week. None of that is pleasant stuff. None of that in our human nature we really want to go through. But to follow Christ and to be faithful in the faith, to pay it forward, these things we're going to deal with. Jesus said we would. And so we are strengthened when we go through that process. And Paul says, overflowing with thankfulness. Now that's the hard part. That really, grinds at us sometimes. But I am reminded again that unless we have a thankful attitude and heart in the process, we're not really having a genuine and true faith. Because to me, thankfulness is the greatest expression of true faith and trust in the Lord. I can look back and see how many times he's been faithful through the difficulties of life. I should have an attitude of gratitude because of that in the things I'm dealing with presently, because I've seen where it's brought me. And I know that my faith is stronger, and I know that I've had the privilege to share that with others, and others have been influenced by it. This brings joy to me, and this is what Paul was saying. His joy was to see that his faith had been lived in a way that others received it and were standing strong in it as well. And so this is Colossians continuing. This thankfulness then leads us to Thessalonians. Thanksgiving, therefore. We have a Thessalonian thanksgiving, therefore. Oh, I like that one. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians 1 following.
We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Bulldog, when I'm dead and gone to glory, and you're reading scripture, will you still emphasize so that and therefore? You better, because I'll be looking down from heaven, and if you don't, you're in big trouble. You'll suffer even more. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for that, and others who are faithful in that emphasis as well. I think we do need to emphasize the so that's and the therefores. This is applying God's word to our lives and the effects that it has in our lives, the fruition of it. It's another way to pass it on and to pay it forward for us. But Paul says we're always giving thanks to God for you. And he's seen the things in their lives that he's been encouraging them in, things that he had been living as an example before them. And he comes to the therefore, among God's church, we boast about you because of your perseverance in the faith, the trials that you're going through, all of these things that are a part of that process. It's by God's power, he says, that brings this to fruition in your life. Every deed is prompted by faith. See the connection again. Faith brings the fruit in these deeds. We pray so that what? This is the ultimate again. The name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It just doesn't get any better than that. Again, it's got a painful process. But even in the pain, we can have glory and thanksgiving because we know what God is doing through it, not only for us, but for others, and for eternity, we'll be praising God together as a result. Final stage of Paul's paying it forward is Timothy's treasure. Timothy's treasure. Will it be your treasure? Will it be my treasure? 1 Timothy 6.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Yeah. What's your treasure? What's my treasure? Paul talked about a treasure to Timothy that was not the treasures of this world. Those who want to get rich and wealthy fall into many difficulties and troubles. And it's easy to fall into that trap sometimes. We think the more we have, the more we get, the happier we're going to be, the all blah, 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 and that. But, of course, it's the enemy who is directing our thoughts that way, and we need to rebuke it and then focus what the true treasure that God offers to us and what we offer to others as well. We're going to pass on what our treasure is to others. Maybe not consciously, but unconsciously we do that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So we're content with just the things that we need. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, Jesus said, will be added to you. Keep the focus on the true treasure. Seek the kingdom. That's the true treasure that Paul is talking about. When we are content, we can then pursue the true treasure. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight. Take hold of that prize that God is holding out to us. Do we realize that we can actually grasp the prize before we get there? We can. We can lay claim to it even now. It's like eternal life. We don't start experiencing eternal life after we die. We start experiencing eternal life the moment we give our hearts to Christ, and by faith we grab onto it, and then in that moment we begin eternal life. The Holy Spirit helps us to experience it ahead of time, so to speak. Same thing with the prize, the treasure that God's holding us to. I claim it now, and I'm going to live in that focus. This is my treasure, not anything else of the world. This is my treasure. And so he said, take hold of that. That was the prize he was talking about earlier in Philippians. Paul continues with Timothy's treasure in verses 17 and 19 of that chapter.
Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of their life that is truly life.
Yes, and so Paul is just kind of repeating in a different way some of the same things we've already talked about. But he gives it as a command. Command those who are rich to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, to be willing to share. And so there's different aspects to this treasure that we hold, and how we then deal with the treasures of the earth. Our Helping Hands kind of paraphrase motto is using worldly wealth to make friends for eternity. And so we use the physical things, the material things, to help people temporarily, but we really are offering to them then eternal treasures. And that's really our desire. That's what Paul is talking about here. Use the treasures of the world to affect eternity in the lives of other people, that they themselves will take hold of that as a firm foundation for the coming age and take hold of what is truly life. Far too often we live beneath our privilege, and we're just taking hold of a shallow, not even real life. Unfortunately, we all acknowledge that. And again, What we demonstrate in our own lives will affect others' people's grasp of wealth. Then in his second letter to Timothy, Paul reminds him of another aspect of this treasure that he needs to treasure. Do you treasure your treasure? 2 Timothy chapter 1.
I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know this for whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training the righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Yes. So Paul reminds Timothy of this great treasure that he has, the inheritance he received from his grandmother and his mother, their faith passed on to him, and how it was built upon God's word, and how God's word is a treasure in itself that we need to grasp and embrace and make a part of our lives, really build our lives upon this faith. You've known the Holy Scriptures, Paul says. They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith, but you must continue in them because they are useful teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that... Did you emphasize that, Brooke?
I slowly did.
Okay. The servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, it comes down to that. We're going to do good works. We're going to even more be more effective and thoroughly equipped if we're in God's word, if we've treasured the treasure that has been given to us. I tell you, I probably go on and on about it more than I need to, but the older I get, the more I treasure the treasure that was given to me. My inheritance, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And not only in my own family, my mom and dad and theirs, but the church family has always been one of my greatest treasures. As for the saints in the land, they are all my delight, the psalmist says. And that has been a great source of strength and encouragement in the faith for me as well, and God's word, God's spirit working through all of it. You might not have had that same inheritance. I'm sorry you haven't, but you have the opportunity to pass your faith treasure onto somebody else. It might be a child, it might be a relative, it might be someone you work with. Hopefully it's all of those things. And so the question for us today, do we really treasure the treasure that we have to pass on to someone else? I hope we do. Finally, Paul makes his personal pay-it-forward declaration to Timothy and to us, 2 Timothy chapter 4.
For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on the on that day, and not only to me, but also to who have longed for his appearing.
Just have to observe that as you persevered there in the reading with that troubling mic, another mic came along and assisted you in your perseverance of faith. And I think that was beautiful. Thank you for doing that on purpose and for giving us an illustration of what this is all about. It's beautiful. Okay. Didn't make the other two mics kind of want to run over there and help with the mic? Huh? We could have had three mics at the mic helping. Brooke needs all the help she can get, right, Brooke?
I think she's got plenty of help.
She's got lots of help. Exactly. I think it's good to observe these things and just remind ourselves of what it's about and how we can be of assistance and help each other in the faith, pressing forward, pressing on, and passing on as we go before I pass out here. So Paul said, I'm ready. I've kind of come to the end. I'm being poured out already like a drink offering. Fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. We all want to make that declaration when our time comes, don't we? And then to be able to hear him say, well done, good and faithful one. Crown of righteousness is held out there. Paul's already grabbed onto it. And he says, but not only to me, but to also all who have longed for his appearing. Are you longing for his appearing? What does longing for his appearing involve and include? Does it mean we're just going to lay around and long and just do nothing and say, even Lord, come quickly, Lord, and do nothing? We better keep pressing forward faithfully and passing on faithfully. We're not going to hear those words, well done, because we didn't do so well at the end. I have to just throw in a little bit of humor here. I forget his name right now, but a comedian on the Gaither series talked about being in the oven. And I mentioned this because Brittany was here at the Colton's birthday thing, and she's with child, another child. She said something about him being in the oven. So I shared this. I said, yeah, it wasn't Mark Lowry, it's another guy. But anyway, talked about being in the oven, and God's not quite done with me yet. I've still got stuff to do, but when I'm done, he's going to take me out and say, well done. Well, anyway, I thought it was funny. I thought it was worthwhile. Okay, maybe not on that one.
John, that's where the belly buttons come in, because he says, you're done.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
The belly button does that. That's the...
You're done.
Okay, I'm glad to... All my 66 years, I didn't know that. Okay. Are we encouraged? Are we challenged today to pay it forward? Pass it on? I hope so, because it's glorious. It's really glorious. There really isn't anything else to live for. And the more that we do that, the greater the joy we experience, not only here, but for eternity, when we have invested everything we can to make sure someone else is there. That's my desire. I want to be found faithful. Lord, just find me faithful. Jesus said, I wonder if I'll find any faith on the earth when I come back. I'm saying, yeah, right here. And I'm saying, yeah, right here. And can we go wider than that? Yeah. Well, let's stand together and sing about it. Find us faithful. I hope this is your response, your prayer as well, commitment to the Lord. Yes, Lord, may that be true in our lives. Those that come behind us find us faithful because we were full of faith, fulfilling the faith that you created for us to experience from before the time we were created. Thank you, Lord, that not only that, but Jesus will find faith on the earth when he returns because we've been faithful. Thank you, Lord, for that privilege. Help us. You know our weaknesses. You know our struggles. You know the temptations sometimes that drag us away from being faithful. Only by your grace and your spirit and your word at work in us, Lord, can we be faithful. It's your work in us. We open our hearts wide again today to reaffirm the faith that we've placed in you and to ask for more. More of you. Just you. Nothing else. More of you. You are our treasure. You're the treasure that we seek. You're the treasure that we embrace. You're the treasure that we pass on to others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can share this treasure together and how it's multiplied in our lives and our experience as we do so. Thank you again for each one that is here today, and we're mindful of those